Blog Talk Radio. Each other to other like-minded beings, perhaps even setting associations and opportunities, and of course, focusing with a meal and a glass of something to help us relax when we weren't so self-conscious about such things. Oh, I'm not saying that science hasn't taught us a great deal about a healthy lifestyle. What I'm talking about here is the difference between existing and living, and what you call that. So the jazz hands types will please exit the doors, marked exit, of course, because we can't figure that out on our own anymore. Without a light and a bureaucrat telling us, and a law and a threat. We're going to have a good time today. The commentary, it's always been us, a brotherhood. History is being kind to us here in the jurisdiction I'm in Upper Canada. We're having an opportunity to revisit and reconnect. Just like we would at any point, being good builders, my goodness, don't you think we would add some enhancements to our work? Well, of course we would. We're going to muck around and dig into things that haven't been touched for a long time. While we've gone through all of that work, we might as well take a look around and see where we need to upgrade and fix and enhance. Of course, don't be silly. We would. We would, if we've dug down this far, we're going to find some old wooden conduit or cast iron. Well, we have many upgrades on that. Or I doubt many listeners out there are driving around. You may have one, but stay with me here, boys. I doubt it, many of us are driving around with a 3-speed on the column and driving a car with standard brakes. Do you remember what that horror of horrors was like? If you simply cast your mind back, it's like a nightmare. Trying to stop the Detroit tonnage before you crashed into things, and there was no fear about whether little Bobby was going to hop his head off the steel dash. That was a given, but no fear that you were going to experience much damage, because these cars were built like tanks, but they were incredibly dangerous and inefficient. Yeah, today we enjoy all the upgrades, even the most strident and energy efficient of us. We live safer in these vehicles. They steer better, and the transmissions. Oh, do you remember how sloppy they used to be? Oh, and we loved them, didn't we? We had ramped up all the nationalism our little adolescent minds could handle. Full of opinion, not big on facts. Today we're going to lean in again and have a bit of a chat. We do have, I think, a stunning bit of poetry, and I'm revisiting, which is not too unusual, but we're revisiting C.S. Lewis' work. The response was pretty decent, so I look forward to plunging into this with you. But before we do that, here, sit back a little bit, fill your cappuccino or your glass of wine or whatever time of the day it is wherever you are listening, whether you're hello Japan and or hello France or Belgium or wherever you happen to be tuning in. Around here it might even be a single malt or a cup of tea. This is Paul Desmond, and it's fitting listening to his piece called Easy Living, 1966. Brilliant piece. Thank you. to think that, you know, when we sit down together to carry on the work of Freemasonry, that we can fit together. It's about anticipating. It's about anticipating, isn't it? It's about leaning in. Yeah, I'm about to launch some discussions on you about how we go about the ritual. We tend to do a piece and then as if it's one person on the stage with the candidate. It struck me as a bit of a kind as a, it might be a just the way it's been for a long time, but when we read the work and expand on it and think about it, it's a group of us, isn't it? Could be one person, but normally it involves different actors. And I wonder, and I know, that very often the people doing a piece are unable to explain why they're following the previous speaker and what their motivation is, what their purpose for being there is. Each one of us, when you think about it, having handled this for hundreds of years, might be starting to ask questions about what character we are in. Is it all one character? And in fact, it belies that notion when we examine the history of the work. These are beautiful pieces of work that took a great deal of time and consideration as they were crafted, and they have deep meaning. From the very beginning, the work, the ritual, was given a considerable amount of attention, and that has not stopped to this day. We still find the attention drawn to the ritual, except today, not everybody is a keen historian, and so that we seem to often have dropped the notion that this is always a work in progress. There seems to be a notion that it's something static that should not be changed. I can't think of anything more of a disruption to the continuity of our craft than those types of statements. It's like saying people hate, somebody told me they hated history. It's like, you know, hating yourself. How do you hate history? It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable that we would ever stop, take attention away from the ritual. I think that's short-sighted, and I would encourage you, Masons that feel that way, to break out some of the history. Do it in your own way, you know. Or if you're lazy and you're putting your feet up and you want to relax about it, then at a high level, you can take this to the bank. That we have always been, it's one of the qualities of Freemasonry, where we are aspirational. And we exhibit adaptability. That's why we're able to move. When you think about it, it's not that we impose ourselves anywhere. There's language that simply has no place around Masonry. And yet it's not language that's bandied about. Oh, the words, the ideas that we just don't deal with. I'll come up with those another time. Unpleasant. Here. The commentary today. Sit back. Tell me what you think of this. It's always been us, a brotherhood. The man doesn't mature in a vacuum. He reaches an age of understanding with experiences unique to his life, stumbling forward, perhaps, learning from his mistakes, but more often not at the first lesson. The age it happens is not clear. For some, awareness begins, albeit incomplete, at an early age. It has something to do with overcoming the baseless opinions that fill a young man's head. Some never quite arrive. they become a pastiche of what they believe is owed or expected. Until that day when something happens that triggers a need, a yearning, a search. He doesn't need convincing. He may not even be aware. Words do not come easily. They do not compete well with all the noises in his head or the turmoil of an uncertain future. That gap is where Freemasonry can offer sight to the blind. The impossible becomes possible. Freemasonry erases what came before, redefining as dishonest moments fall away until he sees himself and us. Tobias Churton is a powerful researcher and thinker. When he explained accepted masonry, I felt surprised. The way I am when Sherlock or Poirot are deductive with the logic so obvious when it is made known. At the time, I thought it was external, until remembering that acceptance of others is foremost based on acceptance of self. Unvarnished. Honest. Like the effect on an audience of the tragic ending of the two lovers in Tosca, or the senselessness of Vendetta in Romeo and Juliet. Without the fanfare stands masonry. Lessons profound and meaningful are woven into an atmosphere that offers, without guarantee, the possibility of a bond. Standing, waiting passively for it is like the man who waits for inspiration to occur. He waits and waits until it begins to understand that inspiration comes to those who look for it. Set aside the operational bumps and constant adjustments, eye on the goal, that need to connect. Thank you. Chet Baker. Almost Blue. Beautiful, beautiful piece of music, isn't it? Just stunning. Just stunning. Here. This is an interesting fellow, C.S. Lewis. Interesting man. Most of the, you find if you scratch the surface, most of the period poets that I'm familiar with are, that I tend to mine for our audience are curious individuals, bright, sensitive. This is when sensitivity, the idea that sensitivity was a weakness, was being challenged. Imagine the feeling that you're in a straitjacket where you weren't allowed to express certain emotion. The remnants of that still linger in the in some cultures. It's just like that notion that men is supreme over women. Then along comes this group called Freemasons, and our goal isn't the domination of anything, it's acceptance, and it's our target. When we keep our eye on the target, it's to be happy and to share that happiness. And that means letting a lot of stuff slip through our fingers because it's just not worthwhile. Here, this is a beautiful and sensitive piece called The Apologist Evening Prayer. Sit back for a second and see what you think of C.S. Lewis's work. From all my lame defeats and oh much more, from all the victories that I seemed to score, from cleverness shot forth on thy behalf, at which, while angels weep, the audience laugh, from all my proofs of thy divinity, thou who wouldst give no sign, deliver me. Thoughts are but coins. Let me not trust instead of thee their thin-worn image of thy head. From all my thoughts, even from my thoughts of thee, O thou fair silence, fall and set me free. Lord of the narrow gate and the needle's eye, take from me all my trumpery, lest I die. Thank you. truly is amazing. That's a piece by Oscar Peterson, our very own, CJM Blues. Did that in 1964. It's a recording from Denmark. You can still hear those crazy Europeans and all that cadence clapping. They just are really into a solid groove. Way back in the day. We were so young. Here, it's great. I can't think of a better segue to what we're going to come into next in terms of symbolism than Oscar Peterson doing his magic. He's brought us such joy over so many decades. Great musician. What a talent. Marianne, we get a chance to throw out some ideas about symbolism occasionally. We here on Sonic Effects are students of the philosophy, the breakdown of philosophy, the symbolism, the history of the craft as quite in distinct areas of study. Odd, don't you think, that we have those bald little fists and those little jazz hands fluttering around by people who have acquired Freemasonry but tended to only be scratching the surface on an intellectual level? Even that, it can be a cause of debate. It's odd, don't you think, that it's like we've acquired something, but we've locked it away. We have it, but we're not to use it. We have this incredible history and enriched philosophy. And as we get into today again, over a revisit a small portion of the symbolism, this isn't for memory work. This is, those honest moments when we become triggered by our environment. I know our lodges here in Upper Canada are largely austere. We have difficulty because we are so uninformed or ill-informed about symbolism and our its presence and bearing. I ask you, when was the last time you saw the bust of a scientist or a musician in any Masonic lodge? Now, you would tell me, what would you think if you close your eyes for a moment and you're thinking about an organization that deals in enlightenment? Now, these would generally be people that would be what? On the forefront of idea, at the cutting edge, and be searching out the being able to debate without that sophomoric childishness of right and wrong, but looking for the accuracy of ideas. Would we be following the Royal Society? What footsteps are you following along your path to take us to the point where there's things that we can't or won't do? Here in Upper Canada, we've been busy. We'll get around to that. We've been so remarkably busy building our roads and our communities and our utility systems and forms of communication. Yes, there are other forms of communication outside of Freemasonry. I know that comes as a shock, but it is. We've been busy and preoccupied. That's all. We needed to do that. And bloody hell, you know, in Upper Canada, the jurisdiction that I'm sitting in here is 1,000,000 square kilometers. Just wrap your mind around that. Do you think we need an enhancement? Well, come on, give us a chance. And those who have approached this with umbrage, there's the exit. You know, go over there. Go out in the field and rant. If you're so busy that you have a temper, you're not working hard. You're not working hard enough. If that's all you've got on your mind is to find fault, you're not working hard enough. Thank you. That came from very worshipable brother. Toomes, my grandfather. You're zero. You're not working hard enough. Good rule to live by. I always like the upright lions of society who are there to tell me a thought, inject it as if it's that intrusion is going to be widely accepted. Obviously, they've never met us, have they? We make up our own mind, especially when we find somebody that is acting with some degree of authority in the craft. It's like, what's that Latin phrase that comes when they when they're done, you know, doing whatever they do? It says, I don't know what to, I don't know, how do you translate it? It has something to do with, oh, the asshat. I don't know how to say that in English, but you know what you know exactly what I mean. Let them blow it off. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. This is what matters, is your adaptability. That's the grace of Freemasonry. Not that we can, that it gives us a reason to just launch ourselves at the craft. Anything that I say or think is perfect in every way, certainly far from it. We're to, at any rate, we're to apply ourselves with some degree of decorum and diplomacy, some degree of thought before we speak. If not the other people around you, then you. That's using the example. And if there's more, one person at a time, one step at a time, if you're the next one that joins that chorus, Tache, you're listening silently, but actively watching and paying attention. What do you hear when you actually stop talking? What do you notice? What do you learn? What do you see? It's a surprise what part of the world opens up to you, but nobody can give you this. You have to do this for you. Are you, as a Mason, important enough to you? Is your development important enough? Oh, I make no apologies. I'm conservative in Mason. That simply means that I strive to maintain or reapproach the standards that were handed down, not watered down, but handed down, rising above, always reaching a little higher. Always striving, use of the imagination, use of the intellect, being a good person, being there for other people. All of this beautiful language amounts to us learning to share what we have, share the pain, carry the burden, and do it without bringing attention to ourselves. We seem to have forgotten that. Look at me, look at the organization, look at my pins. What are we doing? We're grown up. I'm not going to send you a picture of what I'm eating for breakfast. That's embarrassing. I want to know what's on your mind. Not every single moment of the day. But we're going to sit down and have some conversations about some serious questions. The better the phrasing of our questions, the more we can delve into the meaning of Freemasonry. So, what is the purpose of living a just and upright life? Is it compliance? Is that the idea? That utopia, that grayness that utopia breeds, that we were taught is less than tolerable for free thinkers? Is it what we twist and distort it into? Or is there an objective truth that surrounds us? Is all truth subjective? Or are there certain truths that exist apart from our meager existence? Maybe we should jump into ideas of common law. Mm-hmm. Adaptability, it's important. Always has been. And in spite of those who wrinkle their noses at it, I will try as much as I can to ensure that adaptability is something that is passed on to the future generations, not a static notion, because an old boy in his day says that's enough. No one of us is Freemasonry. It must never be forgotten. Just like the scripture, you think about it. How many of us were treated to that King James version of the of piety? It doesn't pretend to be a scientific book. In truth, it doesn't. And if anybody, I know there's people out there that, you know, you and I know, people out there that use it in a literal sense. Do we have a collective shudder? If it did, we would want to a fresh edition every few years, because we have not yet got to the end of scientific investigation, even in the 20th century and well into the 21st century. And it's quite possible that the too confident critic of today will be laughed at as much, even in 10 years' time, as he laughs at scripture today. But if the descriptions of of scripture had been written to satisfy the learned men of today, they would not have been understood even a century ago. And certainly they would be out of date a century hence. Sometimes words have two meanings. The truth is that scripture is in part far beyond any human intellect. There you go with those darn theology students. Yep. Can you imagine me claiming that I understand the thinking of the creator, the universe? That would be one of my conceits to suggest such a thing. The truth is, it's in parts far beyond human intellect. And wherever human intellect stops exhausted, then scripture picks it up. And the only difference between the scholar and the unlearned is that one has waded a few inches further into the infinite ocean than the other. The problems of our destiny are such that we want a rock to stand on, not a sifting quicksand. We want to be guided by a light that will always burn brightly, and scripture provides us with both. Therefore, let us hold on to it, which for past ages and for countless generations has given us a foundation for the present, a light for the valley and the shadow of death, hope for the illimitable future. Can you imagine knowing what we know, knowing then what we know now? We have to look beyond the shallowness of the people involved in the teachings. We create a secular niche in our minds for a reason. Well, before we get all judgy about it, think about it. What is that reason? What is it? What is that reason behind sharing values? What is that reason? A belief in something. But why? And did the inspiration cease? I don't know if it's the same anymore. I can't be in different generations at the same time. But there are times when words fail. And sat at the bedside of too many patients and felt that. You don't generally find anger and bitterness. For most, we find relief and understanding or an agreement, acknowledgement of truth. And at the end of the day, you draw a line and you know whether you gave it a good effort or not. From the earliest times in Masonic writings, these two instruments are referred to together. And more than just the square alone, do they symbolize masonry. I'm speaking, of course, about the square and compasses. Throughout the world, they are used as the one completely understood emblem to represent something that has a Masonic connection. Do you understand them? You use them, you've acquired them, but have you locked them up? Or have you taken them out and handled them, explored them, attempted to understand? Is there one way of understanding the square and compasses, or many? Is your way the way? Well, the old lectures of masonry refer to them when united, and by their separate uses in our Masonic philosophy, they teach us our duty to both our neighbor and ourselves. Naturally, much has been written about them. J.T. Lawrence says this: although the square always comes before the compasses, it has to be remembered that the square cannot be described without the aid of the compasses. They are necessary even to construct a right angle. Here we learn that rectitude of conduct cannot come other than from a self-controlled life. So is Lawrence saying, get a grip, get control of your emotion, don't be flying off the handle at everything that disagrees with my thoughts or your thoughts? That's exactly what they're saying. The rectitude of conduct cannot come other than from a self-controlled life. No, that doesn't mean that when we see foolish men speaking before they think, that we should judge them harshly. When a Mason is saying or doing something that you find repellent, I think appropriate response is to turn away, walk away, leave them isolated with that meagerness. It's like the bully only works when, is only effective when he has an audience. The demagogue is only effective when he has an audience. Say what you want, it doesn't change the world around us, unless you've stumbled over something that happens to be accurate, precise, self-controlled. How day be day. Can you imagine? Just know it. I don't think there's any excuse, and I don't think there's any much debate on it. That's pretty much the fundamental of, it is the fundamental. JSM Ward said it like this. He's a much more spiritual symbolism. I'll leave it with this today. On the volume, the square is united with the compasses. By itself, the square represents matter and hence our bodies. The ends being over the compasses, which represent the spirit, imply that man is in a state of spiritual development represented by an entered apprentice, is mainly animal. And as yet, the body is not under the active and complete control of the spirit. To such a man, it is a waste of time to talk of high spiritual truths. He must first of all be trained in sound morals, be taught to use his body with respect and curb his animal appetites. They're not big on sloth, are they? No. It is for this reason that the entered apprentice is merely told that Freemasonry is a system of morality veiled in allegory. You know, don't feed it too much too fast. He has to learn. Oh, and let's sarcastically go about our business by trying to water it down. watering down the very challenge that the candidate needs and is expecting, and that we've obligated ourselves to perform in order to self-improve. How dare we? A limited code is unfolded to the entered apprentice, and in practice, that code is enlarged as he advances from degree to degree. And even the code of the third degree is not meant to be exhaustive, but simply a bare minimum. And it implies that until a man has lived up to this bare minimum, he's not fit for deeper spiritual teaching. Now, think about that. He's not fit for deeper spiritual teaching. I've met a few of those. These are the boys that, to me, that acquire but don't want to use. So the square in the first degree warns the candidate that he must devote most of his time to learning to control the body. And in the second, it implies that he is now fit to learn a little more about spiritual truths. There you have it. Enough. I always find symbolism is a very rich meal, a side dish to masonry. Not one that I want to indulge every single. It's like, yes, I like a nice goose pate. I do, a foie gras. I love that. But not every meal, my goodness. And yes, I like a glass of Merlot to wash it down. But also, like a glass of spring water and a piece of, I like a cappuccino with my brie and a decent croissant. Oh, is there any place outside of Quebec that can, Quebec City, that they can do a proper croissant in this entire country? Ah, here. We're going to wrap up here soon. This is a piece by one of my favorite French performers, Zaz. Au moment.
Et ça tourne. Action.
I think you'll like it.
Vous dites un truc, vous faites toujours la main. Je vous adore. Je vous adore.
Et passant, passe mon temps à les regarder penser, leur pas pressé dans leur corps léger, faire passer des voiles dans les pas. Sans se soucier. Elle, fustigeuse à l'appui, je perçois le jeu de vent. Leur visage comme des masques, me fait l'air répugnant, que faire semblant. Et dans l'air du temps, la balade à l'aide. La balle passera, la dernière restera. La balle passera, la dernière restera.
Bye-bye.
Chaque mois, ce jour, dans des cycles différents, c'est marrant, c'est nous. J'anime à toi le temps vers les panneaux. Je suis inexorablement. Par les temps, je cours à l'équilibre. Chaque jugement que j'en me donne la direction à suivre. Je fais selon moi, à changer, qui m'empêche d'être libre. Les voix se libèrent et s'exposent dans les vitrines du monde en mouvement. Les corps qui dansent en dessous, les femmes se confondent et s'attirent irrésistiblement. Par les temps, je cours à l'expression. Chaque émotion ressentie me donne envie d'exprimer les non-dits pour que justice soit faite en nos pauvres vies endormies. Ta face passera, la dernière restera. Passera, la dernière restera.
If you like her work, that is that. Well, we're drawing to a close, as you can see. Sadly. The commentary today is not exactly veiled and not intended to be that coy. But one of the appeals of masonry has always been that bond. Now, there is no one bond. Don't be thinking about this in militaristic fashion. That's ridiculous. But it's there, that connectivity. Now, the appeal that you bring to the world at large is your knowledge and the authenticity and sincerity of your understanding of Freemasonry. In order to do that, you do need to be a scholar in your own fashion. Fashion it out for yourself. It's not an app or a pamphlet. It's you. Do you express? Are you that upright? Can you articulate? The expectation is that we are that society of men who honor and prize intellect. We value it. Not caught up in competition with each other. No. If we do this, we achieve without bragging. Now, these are uncommon values. But if you're thinking broadly about Freemasonry, you'll see you understand immediately that it fits together. So in just a few days, we're coming up to the anniversary of the Battle of Culloden. Well, we'll remember the people that fell, remember why, and ahead. And to say goodbye to you today, here's a piece, Round Midnight, by Michele Petrucciani. I think you'll like it. Thank you for tuning in, world. Thank you to listeners from the United States and Canada and Britain, of course, and Australia. It's been an absolute pleasure. Now, as you go about your Masonic business, it's important. Can do it with a smile on your face. It's infectious. It has a great effect on other people, and it has an effect, a neurological effect on ourselves if we smile. Try it. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. I believe the old thing. The work. It's hard. Life is serious. It doesn't have to be grumpy and unhappy. just because you're a bit clueless, being angry doesn't mean you anybody should listen to you. The deal, as amazing, is to make it look, make it all look easy, even the hard stuff. Oh, sometimes the little inconvenient. Carry on and produce those random acts of kindness, just as Masons do. We'll be in touch. We'll talk. MasonicEffects@gmail.com. Ciao, Bella. Check this out. Tuning in. Look forward to being with you again.